The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It'll be 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and always done without manipulation, because we're not trying to con you. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We just want to give you some information, hopefully information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you can do that, then you always have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to that plan. That's really up to you. But it's your life, and as I always say, you got one shot at it. So I hope you listen and listen well. Before we get started today, let me talk about one thing in particular. We have a new book coming out called Understanding Your Soul. It's at the press being printed now. Hopefully, if you order one, you'll get it before Christmas. And it's free. All of our material is free. But this is a redo of an older book that we had, and we're also working on another book called The Family. Sometime after the first of the year, that will be available as well. But we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your encouragement. We appreciate those of you that let me know you're listening. As I told you, we're new radio contracts are coming up. So we wanted you to let us know if you're listening. You can always go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org, or you can call us at 800-831-0718. Just let us know you're listening so we know who to sign new contracts with. We currently broadcast in over 120 stations. Each one has a cost and a contract we have to sign before the beginning of the year. So we like to know who's listening and who's not listening so we can save money if nobody's turning in. That makes sense? I think so. Okay? Thank you. Thank you very much. Again, on our website, rickhughesministries.org. You can see the many books we make available there. You can also listen to older Flatline radio shows there. And we do podcast our radio show on various podcast channels like Apple and Spotify and Podbean, things like that. So if you understand how to podcast, you can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world to the Flatline radio show. All right? Now listen, I have no doubt that many of you that could be listening to my voice this very morning, just like myself, we have real and we have legitimate needs. In your case, it may be a financial need, or it could be a physical need. I don't know what it is, but I would like to encourage you to listen as I try to teach you how to have all of your needs supplied. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul the Apostle wrote this, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." There's a divine promise to the believer. My God will supply, shall supply, all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There may be a difference now between what you need and what you want. That's the big difference. So this verse that I just read to you emphasizes your greatest need. What do you think your greatest need is, the number one need in your life? In Philippians 3, 7 through 8, the Bible says, "But what things were gained to me," that's Paul, "those are the things I counted loss for Jesus Christ. And yea, doubtless, I count everything in my life but loss, except for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." So his number one need is to know Jesus Christ and how to please his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything else, just dung. Well, there's a lot of stuff there that he did. It's clear that our number one need is to please our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this particular case, as Paul wrote in Philippians 3, 7 through 8, he's stating that all of his accomplishments that he did before becoming a believer were considered excrement. Now, you may wonder who exactly was Paul, or as his name was, Saul of Tarsus. He was a prominent Pharisee of the highest order, and he was very deeply devoted to the laws of Moses. We know that he was a Roman citizen with all privileges of Rome. We know he was a respected scholar. We know that he studied under the famous Rabbi Gamaliel. And we also know that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish high court. We know that Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, was a zealous persecutor of the early Christian church. All of these things that I'm telling you gave him prestige and prominence in the Jewish community. However, now he considered all of that worthless. Here's a principle I want you to remember and never forget. Principle: an encounter with Jesus Christ will change your outlook on your life. An encounter with Jesus Christ will change your outlook on your life. That's exactly what happened to Paul. So your and my number one need is to glorify our Lord by all of our words and our deeds. Then we have our daily needs. And one of them is our spiritual need, to glorify our Lord with all of what we say and what we do. And then we have our daily physical needs. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Do you hear that? Let your supplications be known to God. Tell him what your needs are. So here's your second principle I want to give you today. It's completely fine to ask God the Father to meet your legitimate needs. However, let me remind you one thing, that in order for your prayers to be heard, they must be offered under the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, God's not going to hear your prayer. I know that because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It might surprise you to discover that God already knows your needs, even before you ask Him to supply the request that you have. And you don't have to ask repeatedly. I mean, I think about that often. Should I go to God every day and ask Him for the same thing? I think He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, so once or twice is enough. But listen to what He said in Matthew 6:31-33, about already knowing what my needs are before I even ask. I'll read the verse to you, Matthew 6:31-33. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. He already knows it. So seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then these things, all of these things, will be added to you. So this passage is telling you that you must have your priorities in order. And the very first priority you and I have is to follow the will of God. And if you're not a Christian, then the first priority for you is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior before you start asking God to help you win the lottery. Priority number one is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's priority number one. To grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? So you can reflect Him to everyone that you encounter. This is verified by 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. And that's not a request, that's a mandate. Peter is telling you, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not to grow is a sin. If you're a believer and you're not growing, it means you're not filled with the Spirit, you're not taking in the Word of God under a good pastor, and you're not growing, which means you don't have insight, understanding, wisdom, and discernment. If you want to have that, you've got to grow. And God wants you to grow. He doesn't want you to remain a baby Christian all your life. So this is what this passage is about. Priority number one for you and I is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? So we can reflect Him to everyone we encounter. Listen to this verse found in Psalm 34:10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. How about that? The lions of Africa are constantly searching for food. Sometimes they score a kill and have a feast, and other times the prey evades their fangs. By contrast, if you seek to fulfill God's plan for your life, you will never lack what you need. I'll say that one more time. If you seek to fulfill God's plan for your life, you will never lack what you need. Not necessarily what you want, but what you need. When you start asking God to meet your needs, remember this verse, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. The key is to have your prayer answered according to His will. Throughout the 50-plus years of my ministry, I've had many wonderful Christian friends tell me, "Rick, if you need anything, just let me know." They mean well, but my thoughts were always, if I need anything, I'll tell God, and He can then tell you, but I'm not going to tell you what my needs are. In 1968, that's a long time ago, I went on staff with a national evangelistic organization, and they informed me that I needed to go to my Christian friends and ask them to give me money to raise my support and contribute to me on a monthly basis. This was not the last bit of bad counseling I received, but much of it, thanks to God, God directed me eventually to a great pastor, and it was there I learned the correct way to operate a grace-oriented ministry, and that is never ask for money, never sell books or any other material. Why? Because if God's in it, He will pay for it. You don't have to try to hustle up the money. So that's the principle we operate under today, even today. So if you're hearing this show right now in your city, it's because someone, as a result of our asking God to meet our needs, God motivated some believer somewhere to contribute so we continue to purchase airtime in your radio market. So without faith, your prayers will be hindered. Did you know that? Without faith, your prayers will be hindered. In Matthew 21:22, in all things, everything, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, here's the word faith right here, pistuo, believing you shall receive. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. That key word is the Greek verb pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O. That verb comes from the noun pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. The verb literally means to be convinced of something. It is the word used to describe the anchor of our faith, believing. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, this verse literally says, if we believe, there's pistuo, and in fact you do, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then we also believe that when He returns to establish His kingdom on earth, He will bring with Him those who passed away earlier. If we believe. Pistuo is critical for you. This area of faith is exactly where Satan tries to deceive people. Or he tries to trick people into believing the wrong thing. Did you know you can believe the wrong thing? You can believe the right thing, or you can believe the wrong thing. There is such a thing as inaccurate faith. I'm going to say that again so you get it. There is such a thing as inaccurate faith. What does that mean? It means you believed the wrong thing, or you accepted as truth the wrong thing. You know, Satan deceived Eve in the garden by getting her to put her faith in what he said rather than what God said. Did you realize that? He got her to put her faith in what he said rather than what God said. Let's look at it. Here's Genesis 2:17. Here's what God said. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in that day that thou eatest thereof, you will die, surely die. That's a warning. It wasn't physical death, it was spiritual death. We know that because they didn't drop over dead when they ate the fruit, they were cast out of the garden. But it was spiritual death, broken fellowship with God. So God said, of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you do, you will die. That's what God said. And here's what Satan said. The serpent said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will become like a God, knowing good and evil. Now, Eve had a choice. She had to put her trust in what one of those two people said. Either she trusts what God said to be accurate and truth, put her faith there, or put her faith what the serpent said. It's hindsight, and we actually know who the liar was, don't we? We know who told the truth. It was God. But unfortunately, like Eve, many, many believers have chosen to believe the wrong person. And as a result, they have inaccurate faith. Faith in the wrong person. In modern Christianity, like today, social media given a platform for many liars. YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. Many liars are on these platforms trying to deceive you. They claim they're telling you the truth. Many preachers will tell you that the reason you don't have enough is because you don't give enough, brother. You don't have enough because you don't give enough, brother. That's a lie. That's a big lie. Some will tell you the reason you're not healed of an infirmity is that you don't demonstrate enough faith. That's a lie. You might be shocked to learn that much of your suffering could actually be divine discipline. And that if you would rebound your sin and recover, the suffering would be eliminated in your life. Because we know from Hebrews chapter 12, those that I love, I chasten and scourge with a whip sometimes. And sometimes the suffering you're going through, you may think it's unfair, but it's nothing more than God trying to break your arrogance and get your attention before you destroy yourself. So much of the suffering you're going through that you're asking God to heal you from would be healed if you would confess your sin and recover. The question to be answered is this. How do we determine who's actually lying? And how do we determine who's telling the truth? The answer for us is found in the Scriptures. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. How do you test the spirits? How do you find out if the speaker is from God? Well, I can suggest two questions. Here's one question you ask. If someone's speaking and teaching you the Bible, and you could ask them one simple question, what must I do to be saved? If they tell you you got to repent and be baptized, they're lying to you. And Jesus never said that. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't tell them they had to repent. How can you repent when you can go back and do it again and again and again? It's not about feeling sorry for what you've done in the past, because you're going to have an old sin nature and do it in the future. Test the spirits. Ask your pastor this question. What must I do to be a good Christian? What must I do to be a good Christian? If they don't tell you, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit, they don't know what they're talking about. Because you cannot live the Christian life without the filling of the Holy Spirit. So if I say, what must I do to be a good Christian? And he tells me, well, brother, you got to tithe. You got to sing in the choir. You got to go visit people in the, you know, all this sort of stuff. That's all fine. That's all good stuff. But that's not what it means to be a good Christian. To be a good Christian means you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, and you're growing in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. False teachers put on an emotional production trying to, what, trick you into putting your faith in what they're telling you. False teachers will put on an emotional production designed to seduce you, trick you. Listen, just because it seems good does not mean it's actually good. Don't you understand the reason that it's easy to trick people with false doctrine is because it actually feels good to them? The Bible teaches us something rather amazing about Satan's trickery. This may surprise you. In 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15, For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. This is a pastor, this is an evangelist, this is a YouTube preacher that is a legalist that's telling you some kind of legalistic type life to live if you're a Christian. You know, Satan is good at this. What is grace? Grace says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That passage in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should what? Manufacture his own righteousness or brag about it. What does the legalist say? For by grace are you saved through faith, and here comes the adding to it, and giving up something, and doing something. And. No, it's no and to it. For by grace are you saved through faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is what the Bible teaches. Not giving up on moon pies and quit drinking Coca-Colas and lay off the peanuts. That doesn't save you. I warn you, listen, be careful. The Satan has a disguise, and you will be surprised. He looks good. He sounds good. He looks like a righteous person, but he looks like an angel of light, but it's actually the devil trying to trick you. Trying to trick you to do what? Put your faith in the wrong thing. I warn you, let's talk about where you better put your faith. I warn you, don't attempt to teach yourself what the Bible is saying. Stay out of that stuff. You say, well, I read the Bible every year. That's great. I'm glad. I read the Bible through 5 times. Good. Wonderful. I'm sure God will use that and help you remember some of those promises. But the Bible is a textbook designed by God to be taught to you, and that's the reason God gave certain male individuals the gift of pastor-teacher. And that's to protect you from the canine clergy. In Ephesians 4:14, the Bible says, as a result, why do we get under a pastor? As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. This is exactly what Satan does. You need to be under the ministry of a well-qualified pastor. You need to be listening to somebody that knows what he's talking about, who knows the original languages and can break it down and teach it to you. Not somebody that puts on a good show. Not somebody that's dynamic and emotional. That's all fine, but that's not how you grow. You grow by being fed the Word of God into your soul and metabolizing what you hear, putting it to use in your life. The psalmist himself taught a wonderful doctrine about the faithfulness of God and how God will supply all of your logistical needs for mature believers. Listen to Psalm 37:25. I was young, and now I'm old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. That's one thing I can guarantee you. God's very, very, very patient. He will not abandon you, even when you fail. Even when I fail, He does not abandon us. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering towards us, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So there's never going to be a time in your life when the Lord doesn't love you and wants you to what? To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to change your mind about who He is. In Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So if you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's still time to do it. God's love will follow you your entire life, since He does not wish for you to perish in the lake of fire. It's never too late to change your mind about who Christ is and what He's done for you. If you are a believer, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, God has not forgotten who you are or what you need. And He has promised that He would never leave you and He would never turn His back on you. So in closing, let's try to remember the Scripture. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You hear that? Great is His faithfulness. His mercy and His compassions will never fail you. They renew every morning. Did you get up this morning? Did you take a breath? That's the grace of God. Did you look outside? You're still alive? That's the grace of God. He will meet all of your needs, but He wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants you to reflect Jesus Christ in your life, in what you say and what you do and how you live. So whatever your needs are, whatever your needs may be this morning, you can use a faith rest drill, problem solving device number 3 on the flight line of your soul, and it will calm you down. And you can maintain a relaxed mental attitude in spite of whatever adversity you're facing. And occupation with Christ, problem solving device number 10, will give you the opportunity for the greatest happiness you'll ever experience in your entire life. That's what the flight line is about, teaching you the mechanics to the Christian life. And that's what we're doing this morning, going through mechanics. How you can depend on God to meet every need that you have and what God expects out of you. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention, and I sure hope you'll come back with us next week, same time, same place. If you'd like to continue broadcasting in your city, drop us a note and let us know you're listening. We appreciate that. So until next week, same time, same place, this is your host, Rick Hughes, and remember, you can always go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org, or you can call us on the 800 line, 800-831-0718. If you do call on that line, speak very slowly, very distinctly, so we can understand your name and phone number and who you are. Okay? All right, until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flightline.
Thank you for listening to The Flightline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around. It won't be long. Only about 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, all done without any type of manipulation. That means we don't try to sell you something. We're not going to ask you for money. We're not going to try to ask you to join up, give it up, fess it up, nothing like that. But I will ask you to listen. Listen up. Listen as I try to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if I can do that, and you agree with that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But my job is to come here every Sunday, bring you this Flatline radio show, and this makes 1,060 Sundays we've been on the air. Excuse me for a minute, I had to take a swallow. 1,060 Sundays we've been broadcasting the Flatline radio show. I remind you of our website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org, and you can go there and see the latest books we have to offer for you. We've come out with a new book now called Understanding Your Soul, and I hope you'll take an opportunity to order that book. It's free like all our other products. We don't charge for anything, and it's always the grace of God that makes it available to you. So thank you for listening. A lot to talk about. A lot to say, lots going on in the world today, but I want to talk to you this morning about having peace in your life, having genuine, real, true peace in your life. You know, we come up from the holiday season, and a lot of people be frustrated. A lot of people don't have peace because of family issues. But is there a way that you can live with peace in your brain, in your head, you know, where you're not frustrated, where you're not angry, where you're not jealous, whatever you want to say. Is there a way to live where you can actually have peace in your life? Paul said in Philippians 4:7, there is a way to live with peace. He said this, and the peace of God, that's where it comes from. It's not something you manufacture. The peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, he wrote this to a church that wasn't having much peace. There was something going on in the church at Philippi between two ladies, and it had spilled over into the congregation. We'll talk about that shortly. What was going on was really dividing and splitting the church. And if they didn't stop it, it would probably split the whole church altogether. And so the verses that I want to read to you are what Paul wrote in Philippians 4, 8 through 9, to that congregation to show them how to deal with the frustration they may have and how to have peace over everything. He said in Philippians 4, 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, that's the first key, truth. I mean, if you can't think truth, you never have peace. That's the number one key, learning to think truth. Then he said, whatsoever things are honest. We'll see what that word is in just a minute. And whatever things are just. And by the way, this is not something you do all at one time. You can pick one of these out, and if you're having a certain issue, you can just focus on that one. Whatever things are just. That's another one. Justice. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are good report. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, then think about these things. These things, what he just gave them there, true, honest, just, pure, lovely, these things you have both learned, in other words, they've been taught they've been taught these doctrines, and you received them, and you heard them, and you saw them in me, so now you do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. So he wasn't telling them something they didn't already know. He's already been taught this to this congregation. They've seen him use these same attitudes in his own life, and he's telling them, if you've seen me do it, you can do it also. They've learned this information from Paul, and they have applied what they learned in the past as well as watching Paul's behavior. And now it's a different time. There's a turmoil going on in the church. This is how the Apostle Paul's closing words to the church at Philippi are written. He communicates how to purge your thoughts from worry and from other stress-related sins. Self-centered thinking. Listen to what I just said. Self-centered thinking. You must avoid that. And that comes from having an unrealistic self-image about who you are and what you're really worth. Do you have an unrealistic self-image? Do you look in the mirror and do the person you see, is that the real you? No. The person you see is what everybody else sees, but the real you is what you think. So the arrogant individual is always trying to straighten you out, you know. Some person with arrogance is going to tell you how you're supposed to live your life. And once that person assumes you don't have all the facts, they'll be glad to tell them to you. In fact, they go to great efforts to correct the way you're thinking. And that's an arrogant individual with an arrogant mindset. You cannot afford to get like that. None of this will work if you're full of unrealistic self-image. You won't recognize truth. You won't understand how to be honest. You never will treat people justly. You won't live pure. You won't live lovely. So, for the mature Christian, there's a better way to think than what the world offers you. Instead of worrying about something or being bitter about something, you can stuff those sins back in the box. You hear me? Stuff those sins back in the box. How do you do that? By using the divine prescription that God has given to you in the verses that I just read to you. A divine prescription is how you think. If you use what I'm about to tell you, then you'll find a great way to live. And Paul tells you that in Philippians 4:7. The peace of God will rule your hearts. It goes beyond understanding. And it will keep you. So here we go. Let's look at the divine prescription. You know, it's the time of year when you have to go to the doctor and get a shot, get some antibiotics. Well, this is the divine prescription. I call it spiritual antibiotics for living with a relaxed mental attitude. or shall we say, having a healthy mindset. He starts off by writing to the church. Remember, he had left now. He's on the road. He's going to have to send back Epaphroditus to go back and reteach some of these things so the church doesn't split. But he says here, whatever things are true. That original Greek word for true is aletheis, A-L-E-T-H-E-S. And that's a descriptive adjective from the root word aletheia. It is the most common use of this noun. And it refers to something that's accurate, whatever's truth, whatever's correct. One thing that will destroy a local church is when inaccurate doctrine is taught. And you must understand, Satan will never tell you the truth. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said he's a liar from the beginning. He's not going to tell you the truth. I mean, he told Eve, go ahead and eat that fruit. God didn't really mean that. You can't trust what God said. Trust what I said. Eat the fruit. It'll help you. He's a liar. One thing that will destroy a local church is when inaccurate Bible doctrine is taught. And how does it get in there? It is brought into the congregation by some well-meaning member, a lot of times a female member, as it is here. If that individual can rally a following, then they wind up having a church within a church. So you have a pastor trying to teach the Word of God, and you have another individual trying to teach the Word of God on the other side of the building and getting a bunch of people around them. And then you have a church within a church, and that's a disaster. Because there can only be one authority in a local church. And I wonder if it's like this in your church. Does your pastor have authority to teach the Word of God, and do people listen to him, or are there other people in the congregation teaching what they want to teach? And if there's a question comes up, which one do you go to? Do you go to the pastor, or do you go to this other person? Because it's the pastor teacher's job to be the authority of the local church. And that authority is established by teaching what is true, what is accurate. That's what this passage says. Things that are true, think about these things. Things that are honest, think about these things. There can only be one authority in a local church, and that's the pastor. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ prayed this prayer in John 1:17. Sanctify them through thy truth, because thy word is truth. Here, our Lord Jesus Christ is praying for his converts and for their protection from satanic forces. The great enemy of those early converts was organized religion or legalism. The scribes and the Pharisees were very legalistic. And the same is very true today. Unless you get accurate Bible instructions regarding the Christian life, you will be captured by the lie that Satan throws out, which is one of two things. It's either going to be salvation by works, in other words, you can save yourself by being a good little boy, or it's going to be spirituality by works. In other words, you're a great Christian because you don't cuss and you don't drink and you don't smoke and you don't do bad things. So spirituality by works and salvation by works is the big lie that filters into a congregation. Unless the pastor stomps that out, unless the pastor stuffs that stuff back in the box, people will be captured by this false doctrine. So according to Paul, every member must be grounded in true doctrinal concepts. Every person in that church. So the next word he used was what? Whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest. The Greek word semnos comes from the verb sibo, and it means to be revered, honorable. And this implies a clear thinking. It means individuals who respect God and are trustworthy. The same word is used in 1 Timothy 3:8 and 3:11, and referring to deacons and their wives in a church. The same word. Honest. Lying to other people is a sin, but lying to yourself is a character flaw. It's a character flaw of arrogance and unrealistic self-image. So, if you want to have peace in the middle of a turmoil situation, you have to what? You have to think about those things that are true, You have to be honest. Think about those things that are honest. And think about those things that are just. The Greek word dikaios. Just. That's a descriptive adjective meaning things that are fully conformed to the will of God. Think about the justice of God. God is absolutely just. Man is absolutely unjust. God has what we call plus R, and you and I have what we call minus R. He's positive righteousness, and we're minus righteousness. There are none that are righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. So the perfect righteousness of God rejects all of our righteousness as a filthy rag. And the justice of God judges us. So what Paul is saying here, if you want to deal with things in your life and have peace, concentrate on things that are true. Concentrate on things that are honest. Concentrate on things that are just. You don't have to do it all at one time. You can do it one at a time, as I said. So it's very clear. You have to be careful. Whatever things are just, dikaios, righteous, fully conformed to the will of God. Think about the justice of God and what the justice of God rejects. The righteousness of God judges. And then he said, whatever things are pure. Pure. What's that mean? It's the Greek word hagnos. Means sacred, free of carnality, innocent, clean. Impure thoughts. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body any longer. Romans 6:12. Mortal bodies, mortal thoughts are not pure. So you have to learn how not to let your sin nature have domination over you. And it's in your mind. That's where it operates. That's where the sin nature takes charge. The sin nature will plant a seed of thought in your mind, and that thought will grow and mature into a desire, and that desire becomes an action. And that action is going to be sin. So either you're going to sin or you're not going to sin. Either you're going to respond to the thought or quench the thought and put it out, stuff it back in the box. And if you want to do that, you have to learn how to think about whatever things are pure. Free of carnality, innocent, clean. That's a wonderful mind free of lust. You know, there's a lot of different lust patterns. We talked about this before. There's power lust. Politicians demonstrate that. There's sexual lust. We know about that. There's approbation lust. That's yearning for attention. There's power lust. It's financial lust. It's not just sex lust. It's a lot of different lust. So you have to think about the things that are pure, not the lust pattern. Then he goes on to say, whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are lovely. What does that mean? Prosphales is the Greek word, prosphales. And it means whatever things are acceptable and pleasing to look at, to observe. You know, the thoughts of a person can be real ugly. But God wants you to have clean, pure, truthful, just thoughts in your brain. If you don't want to have worry, if you don't want to have bitterness, if you don't want to have frustration, this is the way you have to think. And Paul is giving them the divine prescription, which is a spiritual antibody that Satan, so you can combat what Satan's trying to do. Capture your thoughts. So he said, if there's any good report about these things, any virtue, any praise, then think about these things. That's where your mind needs to concentrate. You might wonder why Paul would mandate that the church members focus their attention on the things that he's prescribed here. Listen to Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Right there you have positive volition, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's the faith rest drill, standing on the promises of God. So if you want to have peace in your life, it has to be positive volition, and you have to concentrate on what God has given you in the Scriptures. And this is the verse. You need to read this over and over and over again this week. If you're in a church where there's frustration, where there's competition, where there's inordinate ambition, you need to read this. Whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, these are the things you think about. Perhaps Paul is advising them to ignore the conflict going on in the church between these two ladies and instead focus on correct doctrinal application. Listen to Philippians 3:2. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they have the same mind in the Lord. Prepositional phrase, in the Lord. In other words, they need to think alike. And obviously, they are not thinking alike right now. Well, what are they thinking about? Well, one of them is thinking about false doctrine, I assure you. And they're trying to rally others to be with them and be on their side. It's obvious these two ladies are not on the same page doctrinally. Maybe not on the same page emotionally either. But their differences may be threatening the whole church. And this is often how churches split. And it's how it happens. Because two women in the congregation cannot agree, and unfortunately their husbands can't control them. Now you see, Satan is seeking to use this fractured relationship to destroy the Philippine church, and this is why it's so important that Paul had to get Epaphroditus back down there to teach them the things they should remember. So let's go through some principles this morning before we wrap it up. Here's the first principle. Your approach to life and the effectiveness of your biblical standards are dependent on what you think. Your approach to life and your effectiveness of biblical standards is dependent on what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, the Bible says. Remember, listen to this play of words I'm about to give you now. Listen. You are what you think. You are not what you think you are. You are what you think. You are not what you think you are. In Proverbs 23:7, the verse said, as I just quoted, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. The interesting thing about it is that God can read your mind. He knows what you're thinking, and you're not going to pull the wool over God's eyes. So your physical health, here's the third principle. Your physical health can be affected by what you think. It's called psychosomatics. Your physical health can be affected by what you think. It's called psychosomatics. What is psychosomatics? Well, it means this, that you can actually worry yourself sick. Mental tension will eventually overflow into your physical body. That's a true thing. Doctors can tell you that. So if you don't want to get sick, then don't think about things that are not true. Don't think about things that are not honest. Don't think about things that are not pure. Don't think about things that are not virtuous. How do you stop doing that? Because when they pop up in your brain, that is your sin nature planting a seed, trying to get it to grow into a lust. And if you don't stop it, if you don't stuff it back in the box, it'll grow into a lust, and you will fulfill that lust, and you'll break fellowship with God by sinning. So what the Apostle Paul is saying is that in part four here, the readers of his letter he's writing back need to stabilize their thoughts. They need to stabilize their mentality. Quit thinking like they're thinking. So here's another point. Point five, the effective Christian life requires you and I to think divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. Human viewpoint is the emotional highs and lows that people go through. But we don't live by our emotions. Emotions are always reactionary, but we don't live reactionary. We live by responding. We respond to the truth. And it gives us the peace that passes all understanding. So if you want to have the kind of life God is talking about here, you have to learn how to think divine viewpoint. And that's the true, virtuous, just things that we're talking about in verses 8 and 9. And here's another thing you need to understand, another principle that's critical for you to learn. A new Christian must undergo a renovation of his thinking. When I got saved, I had to learn how to think a different way. And it didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of years. But Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, changing the way you think. so that you can prove now what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's the job of the believer, is to learn how to think accurate Bible doctrine. It's called divine viewpoint. And that's part of that, whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is just, that's what it is. Exactly what it is. And that's your secret to having peace in your life, if you want to have it. If your thinking doesn't line up with the biblical attitude of divine viewpoint, then you're going to need to rebound, confess the sin, 1 John 1:9, and recover very quickly, or else you'll be certain to do something very dumb, very stupid. As you know, you've done it before, so you know what I'm talking about. So when that seed gets planted in your brain and it wants to sprout up into a lust, then you need to put it back in the box. Confess it to God. Rebound. Carry on. A stable mindset, next principle, is free from fear, replacing it with faith rest. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible clearly says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The word sound mind is sophronismos in the Greek, and it means self-control, a stable mindset. A sound mind is a steadfast attitude in the face of adversity. So, if you want to replace the way you think with your emotions, which is not thinking but rather reacting, then you have to learn to think divine viewpoint. And how do you think divine viewpoint? Well, I just gave it to you in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, the good report, things that are virtuous, that's divine viewpoint. The greatest freedom in your life, the secret here I want to give you, is understanding grace orientation. Because grace frees you from trying to earn your salvation by a system of good deeds. And grace orientation gives you the ability to blot to grace out other people that you choose to grace out. It could be a person who's an antagonist. It could be a person who has a need, but if you will use some personal love, which is a problem-solving device that we have under the 10 problem-solving devices, then you can provide grace for both of them. See, what is grace? Grace means all things that God is free to do for you, including salvation, through faith, and it's absolutely free, a free gift. So, isn't that a wonderful thing? Apart from any human merit, any system of human works, they're never merited, never earned by mankind. It's grace. If you're bitter, that's a lack of grace, because bitterness is the number one system of self-deception. It results from reaction to people, situations, circumstances. It's a sign of you having your eyes on people rather than on the Lord. Because grace orientation simply implies that you treat others the way God treats you. For example, you do not have to earn God's love. He loves you just like you are. Because 1 John 4:10 says, herein is the love, not that we love God, but he loved us first. And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The very power that sustains grace orientation in your life is virtue love. John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. This virtue love is phenomenal. So when you use grace orientation towards someone who doesn't deserve it, then you are in effect using virtue love. You don't have time for the other stuff. Because the Bible says, let this mind be in you, that was also in Christ Jesus. So when you can live your life not being distracted by people, when you can live your life thinking the right way, then you will enjoy grace orientation, grace thinking. All of it comes from the truth of the Word of God and subsequent grace actions in your life. Did you get it? I hope so. I had a lot more to cover, but I just don't have the time. Please come back next week, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.